Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Tuesday, March 4th, 2014. I don't know if anybody else is having a problem, Al, but it's really difficult to say 2014. It's just like, oh my goodness gracious, 2014.
I know, it feels like you had to dress up like Flash Gordon and Dale Arden or something like that. You know, we ought to be battling with the Emperor Ming, the merciless, rather than the Emperor Obama.
I remember as a kid watching movies where their future was 2010. We're in the future.
I can remember when I first read 1984. Probably back about 1960 or thereabouts. You know, the book.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh, that's 24 years into the future. That's so far away. You would have thought it was at that time. It was centuries away. And little did I know. You know, it was almost the next week. And there we were, 1984, whatever it was.
I can remember being in school and we were in elementary school figuring out how old we would be for the year 2000. We all had to figure out our how old we would be. And it's like, oh, my goodness gracious, is that old? Now we're 14 years past.
Yeah. Hard to believe. Hard to believe, but it just keeps on moving, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I think best thing is just not pay any attention to it. I've told you that before. I try not to pay any attention to time, and I think maybe if I don't pay attention to it, it won't pay attention to me.
Well, the good news is we get to move the clocks forward this weekend at that time again. For those who have to do that, moving the clocks forward, you get an hour less of sleep, but it doesn't get dark till 7 o'clock, so that's a good thing. So, and for those who like,
I don't know if I want to move the clock forward or not, because you know that means I'm losing an hour, Melody. If it's 6 o'clock and we kick it up to 7 o'clock, all of a sudden I've just lost an hour. It's gone, and I didn't even get the benefit of that hour.
I'm thinking to myself,
maybe I'm just not going to participate in this daylight savings anymore. I'll only participate in the fall. When it falls back and we gain an hour, but I won't participate in the spring. What do you think?
That just means that you'd get older quicker.
I don't think so.
Yeah, if you're gaining an hour, you're getting older quicker.
I'll have to think about that. I'll have to bring that up with my
I don't think you need to
spiritual advisor and see if they agree that this is reasonable or not reasonable.
I don't think you have to think about it, Al. Let's think about gold, though, today. You have gold down $15 after a dramatic change in what's happening. I guess it's not dramatic, but a little bit of a change over what's happening in Ukraine. And Putin finally came out and made statements. And, of course, that calmed all the markets. And I told you yesterday, Al, I says, when you have the stock market and a currency drop as it dropped yesterday, that he'll do something in order to stem those losses. And but what was interesting, he did come out saying that, you know, if they put any type of censures against Pardon?
Yeah, against Russia.
Yeah, if they put anything against Russia, that he would dump his $200 billion in U.S. debt. And, you know, you hear commentary saying, big deal, that's nothing, and so forth and whatnot. But what it does set up, though, it could be a snowball effect to where, you know, it would cascade into other countries doing the same thing, particularly those countries who support Russia. So, and they wouldn't have to sell all their treasury debt, just some of it. So, you know, but, you know, and then on the other hand, you could also see our treasuries become higher and so forth as people look to look for a safer haven. But you would also see much, 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 much higher gold prices. But I like what gold is doing. You know, so what? It lost the premium that it gained from what was going on with Ukraine, with you had that little drop of the dollar. The dollar was below 80 this morning, but it did come back 0.09 at 80.16. So we're still on that borderline between 80 and 79. It crude oil down over a buck and a half today at 103.29. So it did come off on some of those commodities. And so we had the premium come out of gold. So not a big day. The fundamentals is I believe, what pushed gold up over the past 2 months. And I think those are going to continue. So gold was up down 15 at 13.36. You had silver down 25 cents at 21.25. Platinum was up a buck at 14.66. And palladium was up 13 at 7.66. And I did mention the USDX. And the paper markets today were up big, of course. The European markets reversed themselves. And our currencies or our markets came back. They had a huge rebound as that crisis was Wall Street has seen that crisis as easing to some degree. And you had the Dow up 227 points at 16,395. The NASDAQ was down 70, I'm sorry, was up 74 at 43.51. The S&P was up 28. 28 at 18.73, and the 227 point gain in the Dow was, of course, the biggest gain of the year. The S&P ended at a record high in the stock market today, so you have those things going on. However, I was reading, interestingly enough, that this first quarter is on the way to be the worst quarter for the paper markets, for the Dow, the S&P, since the last quarter of 2012, which I thought was interesting, particularly since all these record highs have been made, but on very small gains. So the 10-year yield today was up 0.8 at 2.69%. So I guess worries are over. Everybody can go back to what they were doing. Obama came out today, Al, with the budget. Yep. You know, to me, it was just an election budget. You know, I was like, what's the point? Why waste all that time and energy and all the pitching of this budget when it doesn't mean anything anyway?
Well, I saw it's a surprising budget in some regards. According to the Washington Times, they said Obama raises spending taxes. That's the headline. And the text says, in part, it says, saying he's optimistic the economy and government's fiscal picture have finally turned the corner 5 years into his tenure. President Obama announced a $3.9 trillion 2015 budget Tuesday that calls for tax hikes
on the rich
and a $60 billion boost in spending next year. Now, the article doesn't specify what the tax hikes are going to be. Right. It just, but it does say there's going to be a $60 billion boost in spending next year.
Yeah.
$60 billion is peanuts. They were kicking in $85 billion a month with quantitative easing 3. They're now down to, what, $75, $65 billion?
Well, I don't think
it's a month's worth of quantitative easing. It's nothing. Well, it's triviality. That's a small, that's a tiny increase in spending, really. It's a trivial increase in spending, and I don't know how much he intends to raise taxes, but it can't be much given the state of the economy. It goes on, it says the federal government would run a $564 billion deficit in 2015, which would be a record low for Mr. Obama's tenure, but the deficit would remain at about $500 billion a year for the next 10 years, meaning the debt would continue to pile up. By 2024, Mr. Obama projects the gross debt, and he is presumably talking about the national debt. He says it would be $27.5 trillion. Now, of course, that's compared to $17.2 trillion today, and it's also compared. John Williams says the national debt's actually closer to $90 trillion, and the Congressional Budget Office says that the national debt is actually over $200 trillion, including unfunded liabilities. So they point to all of this as they have no intent of actually reducing the size of the debt, and I doubt that they can. I doubt that they can reduce the size of the debt because we live in a debt-based monetary system where debt is construed as wealth. As nutty as that sounds, but that's the way it effectively works out. If you're really wealthy, you have a lot of debt.
Well, the whole thing of it is He comes out with his budget. Like I said, to me, it's an election budget because Congress isn't going to approve it anyway. So what's the point? It's kind of like saying, oh, well, we're going to do this. We're going to cut this, and we're going to tax that rich. You know, get those rich people. They need to pay more taxes. We'll put in the Buffett rule and tax all those making over $1 million. And we're not going to talk much about those who make 200, 250, but we're going to get those rich people, pay those taxes, and then we're going to give money to the other people. And that's how we're going to do it. But it's all fruitless because Congress isn't going to approve it. So what's the point? It's an election year. It sounds great. And, you know, he's only going to spend $60 billion. That's a good deal and cutting the debt. So, no, what does it mean now?
Oh, you may be right that it is just an election year ploy. The Republicans have been blaming the Democrats for 3 years for not coming up with a budget. It may be he's going to come up with one knowing that the Republicans won't accept it, and then they'll be able to blame the Republicans in the fall election for not having a budget. They'll be able to defeat the Republican claim that the Democrats are the ones who aren't giving us a budget.
And I can't believe the Republicans are so stupid. I mean, it's like yes, I do agree. Yes, I know they're the same. I know they, you know, all their strings get pulled by the same people. I get all that. But yet I can't believe the Republicans are so stupid that they can't get elected. I mean, how hard is it to get elected?
It's hard. Well, it's not easy.
But the millions of dollars that they have,
it's not easy to get elected.
Well, look what they do. I mean,
and it's not fair either. I mean, it really is the election process, particularly at higher office levels. It's so dependent on your ability to raise funds that it pretty much precludes a lot of people. You're just not in the club. You're not going to get elected. You've got to be part of the fundraising apparatus in order to find your name on the ballot next year. That's not precisely true, but there's a little bit of truth to what I just said. It's not a fair situation. You know, one of the things that really does bother me about the Constitution, one of the big mistakes is they calculated that there could only be a maximum of, I believe it's 435 congressmen, and of course two senators for each state would be 100 senators. So there's only 535 people up at Capitol Hill, senators and representatives. And I don't mind that we have only two senators per state, but we should not have representatives divided only 435 representatives among 300 million people. Without doing the math on it, there's way too many people represented by an individual congressman. We should have Congress that represents 30, 40, 50,000 people maximum. And then add to it. If, all right, fine. How many do you, how many, 50,000 ahead, how many do you need in 300 million? I'm not sure, but it might work out to something like, I don't know, 600, 1,200, 1,000. But it would be better to have more congressmen because we concentrate so many, we concentrate so much power in so few hands. And these hands are inevitably grateful to the party apparatus that helps them with raise funds in order to run for office, that they are easily controlled, manipulated, bought, and paid for. If we had more congressmen, a larger number, it would be there'd be more mavericks up there. There'd be more people who were willing to stand up and do what was right for their little district, their little constituency. I'm representing 50,000 people. I'm going to do what's right for my 50,000 people. Now, I think you'd see a little more honesty. I would, you know, I might be, if I were the congressman and representing 50,000 people, admittedly, I might be biased in a way that was perhaps a little irrational, unfair. But so would the people, so would the guys representing other 50,000 person districts. And the result would balance out, in my opinion. But you'd get away, you get too much, the concentration of power in Congress is entirely too limited. You know, there'd be too few people wielding too much power. We'd get a better representation for this country if we had more Congress.
Isn't that why your local governments and your county governments and your state governments were there to protect the smaller percentage of people to some degree? To some degree.
No, the reason, well, maybe at one time, I don't know if that was true ever, but it's not.
I'm not saying that's what happens, but isn't that what they're there for? Wasn't that, you know, your little guys are supposed to protect?
There's a jurisdictional situation. There's something, there's only supposed to be a relatively few things that the Congress of the United States can do that directly impacts the people of the United States of America. They're not supposed to be able to reach into the states to a significant degree. Instead, the state governments are the ones that are responsible for whatever happens at your state level, and then your local communities decide. And the Fed is distant, but over the years they've come to where they're involved in everything, in violation of the fundamental principles of the Constitution, and they think they can control whether or not your niece gets to sell lemonade out on the sidewalk in front of the house when she's 6-8 years old. It would just be better. In any case, what's the fundamental purpose of local government right now, Melody? It's to hustle money out of the federal government. That's their fundamental purpose, I think.
And you know, it's true because I think I told you of a recent conversation I had with a lady who was running for a smaller office, local office, and she's out knocking on doors and talking to the people and so forth. And you kind of make it think, well, yeah, you know, she's really trying. Then you begin talking to her, and I had mentioned where there are several states who have petitions in order where people want to separate the state and going into, you know, because they feel they're not being listened to.
Yeah.
They feel that they live in a state where, you know, it's a large part of one process and they're being eliminated. And she thought it was silly. She thought that it was just a fad and that this will go away. And so therefore, it told me she really wasn't there to listen to the people. Yeah. And because she, her true response should have been, it is interesting. And you kind of, you know, you'd want to find out what is making these people feel this way. And
contribution laws. They don't have time to deal with people that just want to talk.
Well, she doesn't have
it. You want to be reelected, you got to get some money. And that means if you don't have any money to give to the congressman,
the congressman doesn't
want to talk to you.
She didn't have it. That's why she's knocking on doors.
Okay.
She doesn't have the campaign funds, but you think that, you know, it just goes to show you where her, it isn't about the people.
Not anymore.
No.
So what are we going to do here, Melody? We've got about 20 seconds left. So why don't, would you like to sing or shall I tap dance?
No, I did want to say something. Well, never mind.
Got 15 seconds. Better be quick. 10 seconds. Uh-huh. All right, then we'll just break, and we're going to take some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Caddis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in about 2.5-3 minutes. Please stay tuned.
job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis at Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom and her dog, Ruby. Ruby's in the background commenting on the program, apparently. She thinks it'd move along. She said, move along, move along. So what's next, Melody?
Well, we were going to talk about a special today, but
Well, you can't. You gotta either talk about it or not talk about it.
Why don't you just go and I'll take care of my problem?
You go strangle the dog.
Yes, I will.
If the dog's been strangled or sedated or whatever it is you do with Ruby, then you can come back to the program. I've got one. I've got an interesting story here. You know, Bill Clinton, he reminds me of a guy I knew back in high school. He could never get away with anything. He got caught in everything he ever tried to do that was wrong. And his parents would never do anything about it. His parents were like, they were like people from Norman Rockwell paintings. And they always trusted this guy who was in my class with me. And they always trusted him completely. And they tried to raise him in the most effective way and the rest of that sort of thing. And he just exploited everything he could. And he almost always got caught, but nothing ever happened. All right? It was bizarre. Clinton reminds me of that. Here's an article from the Washington Times. Bill Clinton's photo with Bunny Ranch prostitutes results in different stories. Oh my gosh, I can just imagine. Gee, you're seen with two prostitutes and there are different stories. What a surprise, huh? Former President Bill Clinton poses for a photo at an event Thursday night with two women who work as legal prostitutes at the Moonlight Bunny Ranch in Nevada. The photograph was taken at the Unite for Humanity Charity gala held in Los Angeles. The prostitutes have been identified as Ava, Adora, and Barbie Girl. The report said it's unknown how the women got into the party. Sources close to the organizers say the women were not invited guests and were removed from the party after snapping the photo with Mr. Clinton. Sources close to the two women, however, say that's untrue. Money Ranch owner Dennis Hoff told TMZ that his entire group successfully went through security and not one of them was kicked out of the party. Thursday night's event, hosted by Saturday Night Live comedian Andy Samberg, honored actor Robert De Niro and director Martin Scorsese, among others. Mr. Clinton was the recipient of the Unity Recognition Award. Well, some boys never really grow up, do they? I mean, Mr. Clinton, I will bet you that Hillary Clinton, the possible Democratic nominee for president in 2016, won't be pleased to see that Bill is up to his old tricks, or maybe some new tricks. In any case, I'll bet Bill is headed for a screaming lecture and a big, big smack from Hillary. I can imagine Bill's defense even now. He'll look Hillary straight in the eye and declare, "I did not have sex with those two prostitutes." I can't imagine Hillary's response. She'll be probably straining her eyes from rolling. She'll be rolling them where you can see nothing but the whites of her eyes. In any case, Hillary, if Hillary is elected president in 2016, my question to you, America, is will the Bunny Ranch become America's second White House? Or will the White House become America's second whorehouse? What do you think? Melody?
I'm just glad I wasn't here for that whole thing.
Yeah. Well, I thought while I was...
Yeah. I figured you'd do that while I was gone.
The cat's away. See, this is something I worked out with Ruby. I said, Ruby, you start barking, okay? And Melody will go away, and then I'll do this. Wow. It's just one of those crazy stories. Picture of Bill Clinton with two prostitutes in the...
Oh, it's not hard to imagine. But what we do have hard to imagine is the great special that I have here. We got some great 90% silver in 50-cent pieces and quarters. We're going to continue the $5 AU Liberty along with a $25 face value of the 90% silver for a total package of $815. And we are limited on the $25 face value. Again, they're quarters and 50-cent pieces. So get your order in by calling 1-800-375-4 1-888. That's 1-800-375-4188. And the $5 Liberty gold pieces, AU condition. I mean, they're my favorite small coin for fractional pieces. They give you privacy, protection, and performance, and something that everyone needs to have. So make sure you give us a call. And the 90% silver, $25 face value, 50-cent pieces, they're hard to come by. Usually you pay a little bit of a premium for them. And I've seen 50-cent pieces priced as high as $12, $13 a piece. So just way, way too much for 90% silver. But our price is a great price, so make sure you give us a call. And before we head on into the news, Canada. There was, we were talking about last week, we were talking about gold coins, about the people walking on their property, and they found the five tin cans of gold, and now that is being reported that those were actually a theft, and they'll have to see how that turns out. But in Canada, you had an amateur treasure hunter. So for our Canadian listeners, this is for you. He found a 16th century shilling that was buried in clay on the shores of Vancouver Island. And this coin is a 435-year-old. It was discovered in westernmost Canada. And it has rekindled a theory that a British explorer made a secret voyage here two centuries before it was discovered by the Spanish sailors. And that's what the historical records show, that the Spanish were the first Europeans to set foot in what is now Canada's British Columbia province in 1774, followed 4 years later by British Royal Navy Captain James Cook. And so you had a retired security system guy who got tired of being retired and got himself a metal detector, and this is what he's found. And the silver coin was produced between 1551 and 1553 and is evidence that English explorer Sir Francis Drake had traveled as far north as Canada's Pacific coast during the expedition to California and Passage. And so that was kind of interesting. The article goes on and a lot of other historical numbers and people involved and so forth. So not sure that will really change the history of Canada.
I think it means that it'll probably mean that Canada will no longer be a Spanish possession. Is that what will happen, Melody?
I don't know.
Probably not. Okay, what else we got? What's next?
We talked about the budget.
All right, let's talk about it. Here's something about Christmas. There's the happiest season of them all. In case you were wondering what sort of Christmas season was had by retailers just lately, here's a report from Reuters. Radio Shack is closing up to 1,100 stores after dismal holidays. Now, I didn't hear much. Maybe that I just didn't catch on or I didn't. But I didn't hear much after the Christmas season to say, hooray, everything was great, or whatever it seemed to be. Let's not talk about it too much. I didn't hear that it was terrible. I didn't hear that it was good. I didn't hear much. Maybe there was a lot of information out there, but it went past me. Reuters, again, reports that struggling retailer Radio Shack Corporation reported a wider quarterly loss on Tuesday, and said it will close up to 1,100 U.S. stores after a huge drop in sales over the holidays, sending the stock down more than 15%. Sales at the Fort Worth-based chain have been in a free fall amid executive departures, tough competition, and an image problem. Despite its ubiquitous presence in the United States, analysts say it has not done enough to transform itself into a destination for mobile phone shoppers or become hip enough to woo younger shoppers. So, Melody, I'm going to take a lesson here.
Well,
I'm going to take a lesson from Radio Shack. I think it's important for me to become hip enough to woo younger buyers of gold coins.
Radio.
And that's why from now on, I'm going to wear my hat. So I'm going to put it with the bill off to the side.
The problem with Radio Shack is they didn't upgrade, and I think they're missing out on a group of people, mainly senior citizens, or those who really don't want to go to Best Buy and go through all the games and go through all the, you know, all the stuff that I don't have, you know, care to know about. But sometimes I do need to go in and get a good phone, and sometimes I do need to get a good part for my computer or you know, something that electronic replacement of something that I don't want to deal. But Radio Shack, I mean, their service has gone downhill, and I think that's what any of these places need to have. They go after so much of the, you know, get them in and get them out and service as many as we can, that they've just given up on service and talking.
I don't think they've just given up on service.
But what they didn't do is they didn't improve their image. It was an old-time store. And what's amazing is during the Super Bowl, they spent how many millions of dollars advertising that they were throwing out the 80s and bringing in a new Radio Shack? Well, here it is, March, the 1st of March, and now they're closing 1,100 stores. And again, they haven't kept up with online sales. And the same problem that Penny has had, JCPenney has had, they haven't kept up with the online selling.
Well, they said they're going to bring in a new style store. See, and those 1,100 won't be one of the ones that'll be new style. They're bringing in one, and the rest of them, who knows, because they may stay in the 80s. In fact, sometimes it's almost like going back into the 1960s or 70s to visit Radio Shack. And I think what happened to the customer service is that as sales fall, so do commissions.
Absolutely.
Commissions fall, too. And as commissions fall, you lose your best salespeople. You are in a constant state of flux. People get they are hired on promises that they might make X number of dollars. They find out they're not making it. They quit. They get up to hire someone else. People, you know, if you don't have the profits, you're not going to have a steady supply of labor. You're not the same people aren't going to be there for 6 months, 6 years at a time. And when they're gone, you lose that expertise. They can't give you service because the new guy doesn't know where anything is. So it's one of these things that feeds on itself. If you're not making profits, you can't hang on to the help and a pick, and especially your sales.
I used to always go to Radio Shack first before I went anyplace else. But even just some of the normal items that you would go into, they'd just continue. And then after a while, you just end up going to the Best Buy. But Best Buy is even having problems. And you know, you see their stores, they become, deteriorated. And that's what happened to JCPenney. I love it, JCPenney. I love Sears, but Sears has just about had it. JCPenney, I mean, their stock has been roaring over the past week or so. It's up quite a bit. And, they have to learn how to do both, I guess. They have to learn how to do online sales and, still have a storefront, but eliminate a lot of the storefronts that are in the tiny towns.
You know, the problem with all of this is that we're still in an economic recession. People don't have that much money to spend. They're not willing to spend like they have in the past. So necessarily profits are down for that reason. And the competition is so fierce. It's hard to find any sort of a business right now that isn't isn't stressed by competition, unless you're J.P. Morgan Chase and some of the banks that are guaranteed by government to be too big to fail. They don't have to worry about competition. They can be unreasonable, irrational, take all sorts of excessive risk, knowing that the government will protect them and provide for them, even if they do something completely stupid. But most of us, very competitive world right now. And all of us, or at least most of us, are probably sitting in a situation where we're wondering how many of us think we're going to have the same job a year from now. You know, it's peculiar times, and so what can I say?
I will.
Yeah?
I will. We're here for the long haul, folks, until it's time to sell a portion of our gold and become wealthy. So Obama delays parts of the Obamacare until after the election. There was some. Yep.
It's just a fun article from a publication called The Week. Obama delays parts of Obamacare you won't like until after the election. That's the headline. Another wave of health care plan cancellation notices was set to crash on voters this fall. But the Obama administration found a way to shut that whole thing down. According to The Hill, that's another publication coming out of Washington, D.C. As early as this week, according to two sources, the White House will announce a new directive allowing insurance to continue offering health care plans that do not meet Obamacare's minimum coverage requirements. Okay? Prolonging the keep your plan fix will avoid another wave of health policy cancellations otherwise expected this fall. So you can keep, Melody, now you can keep your plan. Do you understand? Do you think you'll be able to get the plan you had last year back again now that it's been canceled?
Well, you also notice that this didn't come out until after all the cancellations were into effect the first wave. So, yeah. I mean, once a policy is canceled, you can't reinstate it. But they really should. You think there should be a way to reinstate your policy.
Yeah. Well, he said you'd get to keep your plan, and I know that your plan disappeared.
Yes, it did.
And the result was higher costs for your health care than what you'd had previously, and now they're essentially saying, oh, never mind. And they don't want the same thing. There would have been another wave this fall of people who would lose their health care plans. And it says here the cancellations would have created a firestorm for Democrat candidates in the last crucial weeks before Election Day. The White House is intent on protecting its allies in the Senate, where Democrats face a battle to keep control of the chamber.
They're not going to have
any problem. Here's The Hill, and it continues, says, who knew the Affordable Care Act, that would be Obamacare, could so conveniently conform itself to the changing political aims of the White House? The rule of law seems to be much more negotiable now. They pass laws, they enforce them, they don't, as they see fit. What does the law, what does the word law mean anymore? I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival. Be back in a moment with Melody Cedarstrom. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. And speaking of coins, here's Bitcoin. Another is from MarketWatch. Bitcoin near $700. Another Bitcoin theft reported. That's the headline. Bitcoin prices continued to rise Tuesday, even as a Bitcoin business said it would shut down following the theft of its bitcoins. Prices on several exchanges rose to levels not seen since before Mt. Gox collapsed and filed for bankruptcy. Prices approached $700 each on Bitstamp, trading at $691.10 recently. That's the highest level since early February. The CoinDesk Bitcoin price rose 4%, and they go through it. A company named Flexcoin, which calls itself the Bitcoin Bank, said Tuesday that 896 Bitcoins were stolen from its wallet, and the company will shut down. Now, what we're trying to get to is that almost 900 coins that were stolen from Flexcoin just in this last week or so. 900 coins times almost $700 each, the current price right now is almost $700 a piece, is a loss of $630,000. Somebody lost $630,000 out of their digital wallet. You understand? Some estimate that $500 million in Bitcoin value was lost at the Mt. Gox. And that's just a few weeks later, another $600,000 is lost to hackers at Flexcoin. What did P.T. Barnum say? Something about there's a sucker born every minute? Today, even after Mt. Gox disappears into bankruptcy along with $500 million of Bitcoin wealth. And Flexcoin's digital wallet is robbed of over $600,000 by hackers. People are still buying Bitcoins and pushing the prices higher. What do they think Bitcoins really are? Tulips? The evidence is obvious. You know, I mean, if you're going to put your money into a digital currency, good grief. I mean, there is a danger here, folks. And they've lost close to they've lost over $500 million in the last month or so on Bitcoins. So they've just disappeared.
Well, who's to say that Flexcoin just didn't withdraw and saying, well, Mt. Gox did it, so why can't I just
show
896 Bitcoins stolen from the wallet? Come and prosecute me. How do you prosecute these people? You don't even know who they are.
I
mean, it's like, but I'm going to go buy some more Bitcoins. It's going higher. It's really kind of... Warren Buffett yesterday was asked about Bitcoin, and, you know, he had said something about along the same lines as, you know, it's like the tulips deal. And he says Bitcoins won't be around in 10 years, which I thought was a very long time.
I think so, too.
For Bitcoin to be around. But so that means I think they know who is actually behind it, and I think these people are making tons of money on it. And, you know, I believe they plan on pulling the plug on it, but they're going to get wealthy as they can.
I think what happens here is Bitcoin probably started out as an idealistic and ethical concept. I think it did. I think the origin was idealistic something that you might be able to trust. But here's the problem.
Nope. The only
soon as you start concentrating wealth, you get your little idealistic business going, and if you happen to actually start generating some wealth, you are going to attract some people who are not idealistic. They are simply greedy. And you start concentrating your wealth in digital format in a way that people can access by the internet. I don't care what your security system is, they're going to find a way to hack it. All right? You got a lot of money, they want your money. The people out there that want it, they're not ethical, honorable, you know. And as soon as you start to succeed, they'll come rob you. Or at least try to.
The only ethical currency is gold.
True.
Everything else is set up to fail. Everything else is set up...
It's set up to rob people.
Be robbed.
That's what the rest of them are actually. Gold is the one thing where, in theory...
Because if Bitcoin was so ethical, whoever created it would say, raise their hand and take the credit for it. But nobody even knows who did it. So when you get to that degree of...
secrecy.
It, as far as I'm concerned, it's government. It's something.
I won't argue it was the government, but it's greedy people.
That's more than
whoever started it, I don't know, but I guarantee you who's circling like vultures, and that will be people who are, one, greedy, and two, have access, are either competent hackers or know somebody who is. They're going to try to make
it.
So, I mean, this is almost like giving it away.
I mean, the idea of it is attractive. The idea of it is, you know, it brings a little bit of sensationalism and excitement, something new, something, you know, that would get people. I mean, it's pretty easy to sway people. If you're a good con artist, you can sway people into, you know, buying just about anything. And I think this is exactly what they did. They knew that they would make tons of money, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, hey, if you come up with something.
Nothing wrong with making tons. There's something wrong with stealing tons.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's the problem.
But anyway.
All right. So what's next, Melody?
Warren Buffett, since we just mentioned him.
All right. You got Buffett. Here's an article from Bloomberg. It said, Buffett says pension tapeworm means decade of bad news. See, again, Melody mentioned that he's predicting that Bitcoins may not be with us in 10 years. I'm predicting that Bitcoins may not be with us in 18 months. Now, it may be that they're going to last several years beyond 18 months. I'm not making a hard and fast prediction exactly, but I mean, they have a better chance of being gone in 18 months than they have of still functioning in 10 years. I think Buffett has a longer term view on some of these things than I do. And he may be right. I mean, he's the billionaire and I'm not. But regardless, Buffett says pension tapeworm means decade of bad news. I don't think it's going to be a decade. I think we're going to see big bad news long before we get to 2024. All right. We aren't going to hold this thing together for another decade, in my opinion. But the article goes on and says, public pension plans threaten the financial health of U.S. cities and states more than taxpayers realize. This is according to Buffett. Citizens and public officials typically underappreciated that the gigantic financial tapeworm that was born when promises were made. And this is Buffett wrote in his annual financial report to his shareholders, Berkshire Hathaway. He says, during the next decade, you will read a lot of news, bad news, about public pension plans. Yeah, buddy. I just don't know that it's going to be a full decade. I think we're going to hear a lot of bad news in the next 3 years. Obligations to retirees have weighed on governments from Puerto Rico to the bankrupt city of Detroit. Illinois lawmakers passed a bill last year to bolster the worst-funded U.S. state pension system. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie said last week that Detroit shows what could happen if his state doesn't limit obligations to workers. Okay? They're going to get out of these pension plans, folks. Here's Buffett. He says, he concludes saying, local and state financial problems are accelerating in large part because public entities promised pensions they couldn't afford. Unfortunately, pension mathematics today remain a mystery to most Americans. First, what does Buffett mean by public pension plans? He means debts incurred by our local, state, and national governments that can't be paid. He means promises to pay incurred by our local, state, and national government that can't be kept. He means, as I've argued for 5 years, what can't be paid won't be paid. They don't have enough money to pay these pensions, which is why Buffett is correct when he observes, unfortunately, pension mathematics today remain a mystery to most Americans. It's a mystery because they don't understand pensions. If they did, if people understood pension plans and the pension mathematics, they would know that when they walk up to a job and the job promises that some sort of a fat pension that they'll be able to access 20 to 40 years from now, they'd know it's a bunch of nonsense. They would have known that the pension mathematics, they are mysterious to most Americans, and most Americans are therefore easily bamboozled by government's pension promises. This touches on the whole idea of promises that can't be kept. The currency, your fiat dollars, they are promises to pay. They're not payments. They're promises to pay. The pensions are promises to pay. They're not payments. And insofar as we've accepted those promises, we have played the fool. And the day is coming when, and it might be in 6 months, and it might be in 6 years, I don't know, but I'm inclined to think it'll be much sooner rather than later. But we've taken those promises, and we're counting on them. Those promises include pension plans and Social Security and bank accounts, right? Treasury bonds, stocks. All kinds of promises out there, but there are too many to be kept. And it inevitably means that not everyone, but a lot of people, probably most people, who've accepted the paper promises to pay, no matter what media you're in. If you're talking about bank accounts, checks, if you're talking about bank accounts, if you're talking about pensions, if you're talking about Social Security, did you take that promise? Did you count on it? We're going to watch and see who manages to collect, because not everybody will.
Well, I don't believe he really thinks it's going to be 10 years, because if he thought it was 10 years, he wouldn't be writing about it now in his annual report. What he's trying to do is to get these people out of their pension plans and put them in Berkshire Hathaway.
That might be.
And that's
actually a good point, because if he really thought it was going to be 10 years of trouble, it will be 10 years of moderate.
He wouldn't be talking about it. I mean,
I don't think so either.
And he talks about the cities and states. Well, what about corporate pension funds? There's so many of them that are underfunded anyway. I mean, so any pension fund. I mean, there's few that are fully funded. And
so what do you do, Melody?
Yeah, you protect what you have.
How?
You insure it with gold and silver.
Hmm?
You know, people think that you need to put all of your money in gold and silver. That's a personal decision. But if you decide to keep your paper investments, get it insured. And I don't mean an insurance policy from AIG or Hartford or any of these other insurance companies. Gold and silver is your insurance policy.
You know, we see evidence of the same idea with the Bitcoin phenomena. Bitcoin is teaching us, if we care to learn, it's teaching us the danger of digital coins. It's teaching us the danger of digital currency. What do you got in your bank account? What do you got in your credit card? What do you got in your debit account? All you've got there is digital currency.
And everybody knows. There's no privacy in what you have. I mean, what does it take? Target 200 million people accounts.
Yeah.
Every day there's a company that comes out and says they've been hacked, a credit card company, but they don't get the press that Target had. It just goes unnoticed. No one talks about it. I personally don't believe identity theft is as great as what they call it to be. I do believe it's a way to get certain things accomplished, but it's still real. And if you have your the information is there for anyone to see and to grab, but they don't even need to grab it. People are willing to give it away.
I understand. It's a foolishness, and you watch the world move in these directions, and you shake your head, and you try to explain this on programs like this. We're not the only ones that try to explain this point of view. You try to explain it and try to advance it. And yet the majority of people react as if we are speaking in tongues. They refuse to get it. And I can't, you know, it disturbs me, it bothers me, it frustrates me. How few people really get the message we're trying to convey and act on it? Because those who don't, in my opinion, you know, I'm not God, I can't give you prophecy, but I look at it and I say, there is going to be trouble unlike anybody's seen since the Civil War. To me, that's the potential, and even the probability, not guaranteed, but probability. We're going to have that much trouble. How are you going to protect yourself with digital currency? You know, it's just, it's silly, it's absurd, but it's so convenient. Then people are so habituated to using digital currency that they can't imagine working without it. But I guarantee you, your imagination is going to be increased dramatically over the course of the next several years. You are going to learn things that you might not have imagined in the past, but you're going to learn they're true. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. We'll be back mañana. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.